All right, well, then let's just get rocking and rolling here today. I just want to kick things off with just not really a question and just say congratulations on everything going on with Joyland. It's a great film.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This film feels so personal, so intimate. I just have to ask to kick things off. How did you come to create the premise of this? What was the big light bulb moment, per se?
I think the light bulb moment was really, the first light bulb moment was certainly this triangle. I think because we're kind of used to seeing triangles a lot, love triangles, I think in the 90s and, you know, early 2000s. And particularly, I've come from Pakistan, I've lived here most of my life, and Bollywood makes a lot of those as well. So it was just such a template, but it was an exciting template for me because I was like, I can take that template, but what if it's set in a very patriarchal family, like the ones that we have, many of them around in Pakistan, in Lahore, and then what if one of the three is actually a trans girl, and then, you know, the kind of gender and sexual dynamics that come into play, the kind of questions that it raises about desire and patriarchy, you know, those were things that I was actually interested in, but the hook was something that was dramatically exciting enough for me to be like, okay, if I do this, I think I can hook an audience, and then I can talk about all the things that I actually want to talk about, which are more personal for me. So I think that was the light bulb moment in a certain way. Yeah.
Interesting. I read you wrote this while you were in college or going for your master's or mm-hmm. something.
I was doing my master's. I wrote this as when I was at Columbia. Yes, I started writing this when I was at Columbia. Yeah. So the first six drafts were all done in school, actually. Yeah.
Nice. Well, look, I thought the overall environment and the setting of the movie, and even the city in which you filmed in, felt like a character in and of itself. And, you know, just a lot of like the home where the family lives in feels so lived in. Just talk to me about the production process and, you know, where you filmed this and if any triumphs or challenges you had while on location.
So this was filmed in Lahore, which is my hometown, but it's filmed in old Lahore. So I personally never lived in old Lahore myself, but my mother and my father both come from that area, and then their families used to live there when I was a child. So that was the area that I would sort of go to during summer vacations, etc., you know, to visit my aunts and uncles. And it's just such a there's something so specific about Lahore in terms of the way people are, in terms of they hold on to the old and yet sort of, you know, let the new seep in a superficial ways, you know. So, you know, we'll have the Netflix, and it's a very modernized city on this, in a superficial way. You know, we have a great looking subway system, which is, you know, like the cleaner and better than the one in New York. At the same time, at the heart and in terms of the way people operate, you know, they really hold on to the old ways. And that's sort of, you know, combination of the old and the new was something that we wanted to sort of depict visually and feel as an essence as well of the city. And so I had a great production designer who came from the city, who also has lived here all her life, Kaval Kusert, and I think she was really, really an incredible part of the process in terms of sort of making these spaces feel lived in and making them feel real and somehow our real is actually rather colorful. And it was interesting that the you know, more, you would think that a film like this, you know, that kind of has the shape of a tragedy, at least, you know, overall, would be a grim looking film. But it was interesting to be like, actually, no, the houses are colorful here. And then that's the beauty of it. And so we want to sort of, you know, own the color that's actually the realistic way of going about things. And I think a big part of just the fact that everything feels lived in is also the actors in a certain way, because they had sort of developed these relationships with each other prior to the shoot and during the shoot of the film as well, that each relationship felt lived in. You know, it felt like they, you know, they were not awkward around each other. Their bodies really sort of worked or moved around each other as if they lived together. And because they had spent quite some time doing the workshops together, and I think that helped in sort of giving a lived in feel to the family setting of the film. Yeah, for sure.
That's a perfect transition to my next question, because I wanted to talk to you about the casting of this movie, because everybody in this film, all the way down to the children in the house, are just kind of such a well put together team. Like, just talk to me about the casting process with all these actors.
So my casting director, Sana Jaffri, she's an amazing gift that, you know, I found many, many years ago in Pakistan. I think she was actually the first casting director, and she's so young, she kind of casted for my short films with me before, and then, you know, this was actually her first feature film. And It was really a the cast is it the main ensemble of the film is you know the Rusty and Ali who are playing Haider and Mumtaz. They're actually theater actors, but they've never done a feature film before, so it was their debut film. Alina has never done any sort of screen acting except the one short film that I'd done, and never done theater, so she's was technically a non actor. And all the other actors from the ensemble are rather famous. You know, they're kind of, you know, veteran actors from film and television. So I've grown up watching them. So it was a weird mix of actors that, you know, technically shouldn't have worked, because we were like, they all would have such different processes and, you know, like, how is it supposed to work out? But they were all somewhere, I think, drawn to the story and what we were trying to do and you know, were gracious enough to kind of bet on the film and on me in a certain way that they really didn't question anything, and so they really came in and kind of the film dictated the process, and the film dictated what was required of them, and they gave that and more. So it was really quite wonderful. I think the casting of Haider was difficult because no man wanted to play a part where, you know, eventually it's a character whose masculinity is under question throughout the film in a certain way, and you know, particularly in Pakistan, if you're trying to be a leading man in mainstream movies, you know, nobody wants to do a scene where he's gonna bend over. So you know, that's like just like a straight check off, like, no, that film I'm not gonna do. But Ali was, you know, game for it, and was never really a question for him in a certain way. So I think we lucked out in that way, because it was really the trickiest part to cast. Because the women were far more easy, you know, whether it was Alina or Rasti or Sarvat or Sania, all the women were much easier to actually find, and they were pretty much all my first choices for all these parts. But the way they work together, I think, is what really makes the acting ensemble work.
Mm-hmm. Great. So this film is about a man and a transgender performer connecting romantically. This film has played now all over the world. How, outside of any news that we've already heard about the film, how are audiences reacting to it? Is it, with such a progressive theme, is it still kind of divisive, or is there still much people, I mean, obviously people are championing it, but are you getting any pushback on anything outside of anything we've already heard?
I mean, of course, outside of what you've heard, I think it when it releases in Pakistan, of course, you know, apart from the support and then the complete opposition, you know, of a film like this, which are, I guess, two reactions that you know you're aware of already. But it was interesting how sometimes the South Asian audiences that are more attuned with the culture kind of understand the film, and the reading of the film is much more. Sometimes, not painting in everybody with a wide brush, is sometimes more accepting of what the film is, whereas sometimes in whether we release the film in the UK or, you know, sometimes I think the Western media would perhaps, you know, talk about the film as if they were upset that why is this film not entirely focused on the trans character only, because, you know, a trans character in the Muslim world, you know, it's the flashiest thing, I guess, about the film, and they get upset about, like, why is this film not just following her, why is she not the protagonist, you know, or and that's something that, you know, a South Asian audience never questions, because our way of life is very collectivist. Our societies are very collectivist in nature, you know, way more than, you know, a European or an American society is, you know, it's way more individualistic, and it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just the way things are. And I think in that sense, when I was making a film that was about sexuality and gender, but focused on a family in Pakistan, I had to make that film collectivist in order for it to be honest, because it couldn't be an individual's journey of coming of age and you're having a love affair and then how it affects him, and that's that. You know, I wanted to make a film that talked about the collective experience of all these people, because when one person decides to make a choice or a good or bad decision, it affects everybody around them in a much bigger and deeper way. You know, in societies which are, you know, we still have joint family systems where brothers and sisters and parents still live together, you know, so there's no way that that's not going to affect it. So I think the fact that the film treats the trans character as one of the many characters is something that humanizes her more than you know, because it brings her into the film as one of the many characters, you know, it allows her to be to have as many shades as the other characters, you know, it's not that, oh, you can, if you're trans, you can only exist in our stories if you're the center of the attention. Otherwise, we don't want to see your story as just one of the many people. You know, I think that's almost like, you know, why put that standard onto trans characters when we don't put that standard onto male or female or you know, cis female characters. So for me, I think that was an interesting debate and an interesting discourse that, you know, somewhere emerged on in between like Letterboxd reviews and stuff like that that I do follow, which was interesting to think about.
Yeah. A little off topic, but not really, but I just need to ask about one thing I'm always told to ask is, you know, what filmmakers have had an effect on you, and did you bring any of those kind of inspirations and ideas to the crafting of Joyland?
Well, I tried to hat tip a couple. I think Satyajit Ray is one filmmaker who I think has had a deep impact on me, you know, especially in my 20s, I think, of just showing me that there are many ways of making a film and in many ways of moving an audience, I think, and not just the Appu trilogy, but like in particular, Charulata, I think is one of my favorite films of all time. Paul Thomas Anderson, for sure, I think, as a director, I just don't know if there's a better one alive right now, you know, who can tell that many different kinds of stories with the kind of grace that he has. You know, I think he's just impeccable, and has certainly had a deep impact on just the way elegance is a part of every scene, and yet he's able to keep it dramatically exciting, but it's never too in your face or cheap. You know, there's something always, there are many layers to what's happening in a scene, and I think that's something that PTA does extremely well. Of course, I think in particular for Joyland, Wong Kar-wai visually was certainly a reference to some at some point. You know, especially with regard to the romantic between Heather and Biba, I think they are, Wong Kar-wai, especially Happy Together, was something that I was like, okay, you know, it's a reference that makes sense. So these three, I guess.
Okay. Last question here, just to kind of wrap things up, you know, when I know it's in, the film's been released in New York right now and it's played major festivals, but when it gets kind of a major, bigger release in a couple weeks, what do you want audiences to catch? Excuse me, let me do that again. What do you want audiences to take away from this movie when the credits roll?
I hope many things, you know, like I think, ideally, I don't know if I've ever taken from a film what exactly the filmmaker intended me to take and what the person sitting next to me was taking. And I think that's what, in a way, the beauty of cinema is, that different people take different things from a film. And I think in that sense, I think Joyland is one of those films that is particularly, of that nature, because it's an ensemble film and because it is a film that follows many characters, that so far in the reactions I have seen, that people just tenderly take different things from different people. They attach themselves to different characters in a certain way. And I think that's beautiful. But I think overall, I would hope that just a certain sense of empathy for people who may not be like us, and that just doesn't just apply to, you know, if a conservative person is watching this film and they should have empathy for, you know, liberal ideas or you know, queer people, etc., or have a certain affinity towards feminism, etc. I think it applies the other way around as well, that I think if we are liberal, I think approaching conservative ideas, you know, no matter how hard that might be, or conservative people, with a certain level of empathy and kindness is also something that I think we, and I include myself as liberals, have kind of forgotten to do. And I think just an overall layer of empathy and kindness towards somebody who, towards people who, you know, who may not be exactly like you, but they're probably fighting a battle as well, is something that would be nice to have, I think, as a response to the film.